Hey, Mission Date Night agents, and welcome to the show. We've got a lot of exciting things coming down the trail for you guys in the future here, but I'm not going to say too much about that. You're going to have to keep listening to the show to find out those things as they come up.
Rob and I have been brainstorming, and we have some cool new things. So we've said that a couple weeks now, I think. Different times have been doing some interesting brainstorming sessions, and there's some really cool things coming, and I'm chomping at the bit to share them, but we're going to wait. So
it's going to be a little longer.
Right, you're going to have to use your spy skills to decide to uncover those. But I think today is going to be a very interesting topic, something that a lot of you may not have covered or talked about or even understand. And so I think our guest today is going to enlighten us in many ways. Really what we're going to be talking about today is kind of debunking some of those myths around PMS. So guys, don't walk away from this episode, because you know what? If you're in a relationship with a woman, this is a great thing for you to listen to too. So I don't even want to say why. I'm just going to introduce Gabriella. I may be a woman, but that just, you know, so there's some level of expertise. But yet, I'm so interested in what she has to say. So we have with us today Gabriella Guglielminati Treville, and she is an author, speaker, visionary, and feminine cycle consultant who helps women gain confidence, authority, and fulfillment in life by knowing better their body. So I love that. I've been a woman for 44 years, but I absolutely am looking forward to talking with her. So she helps women so that they can make their feminine cycle their best friend, and couples improve their relationships and find a more satisfying way to communicate, and then ultimately have better intimacy. Welcome, Gabriella.
Thank you. Thank you, Janelle and Rob. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, yeah.
Well, like I
said, and as I said to you before we started to record today, you know, I, and Rob, I know, agrees that the feminine cycle is very sacred, actually. And, of course, obviously we need it so that we can create our children. But I think it's been honored so deeply, if you look at some of the ancient traditions. But unfortunately, what you would have to say about it there in the UK. But anyways, so what are we talking about today? What I want you to kind of give this from your perspective. There's myths around PMS, right?
Yes, I lost you a bit while you were saying about the sacredness of the feminine cycle, but I guess what you were saying. I definitely agree with you about the fact of the sacredness of it. And I would add that more than that, in ancient times, it was something revered and worshipped. And it's very easy also to understand why, because nobody would be alive today if it wasn't for a woman menstruating. Right. So, in a way, in our society, I think it's all been gone off the rail, or gone out of proportion, or mistreated and misunderstood, etc., etc. Because we should all be thankful to that, of the existence of it. And anyway, ultimately, we didn't consciously decide that it was nature, or if you prefer, maybe call it God or whatever you might prefer, designed it for us. So there must be a good reason. Nature has got some billions of years of success rate, right? So if we have been designed in this way, obviously there's a good reason for it. But in our society, and when I say our society, I live in UK, I'm originally from Italy, so I would call Europe, but also our society, I mean the Western world, the States, I mean the kind of developed world, we have a very distorted idea about it. And my guess is possibly religion, and meaning Christianity, has got a bit of doing into it. But it's only realistic to say that to these days, the feminine cycle, otherwise called menstruation, is taboo. And it's not just taboo for men, it's a kind of taboo among women as well. And after doing this work for the last 5 years, I can say that it's still so much perceived as such.
Well, I think, you know, at least here in the United States, and again, I don't think that it's necessarily that different in a lot of our other Western cultures, right? But, you know, as growing up, we hit those teenage years, and in our school systems here in the U.S., they'll take you in at fifth, sixth grade, so about 10, 11, 12 years old, and you see a video, and that's pretty much your sex education, and it tells you, basically, you're going to go into puberty, and this, this, and this is going to happen. And for so many young women, that is the only information that they get. Or they may get myths and rumors from their friends, but a lot of moms, and especially if it happens to be a dad raising young girls, there's no conversation. You know, there just isn't. There's that sense of, oh, you know, I don't want to talk about it, I'm embarrassed, or I don't know what to say to her. So, and then there's that because it's taboo, some people believe they're not supposed to talk about it.
Well, exactly. It is a taboo, it's a fact, and I think it's time to change all this. Because
yes.
If we think about it rationally, even for just 1 minute, 1 minute only, it makes no sense. And, and also, I think to be able to change stuff that is not working, we have to talk about it. And in a way, sex was the same, it was taboo, and I personally think it's still taboo, because the fact that everybody talks about sex doesn't mean that it's not taboo anymore. It's just we have just gone to the other side of the pendulum.
Yes.
And so it's a bit like money, it's another subject, it's the same thing. Before it was taboo, was not mentioned, now it's over mentioned, but that doesn't mean that the taboo is gone. And I think there is always something very common in any subject which is taboo, there's a common thread. And I think the common thread is definitely pertinent with menstruation as well, is the fact that something is taboo because it's got some power.
So I'm curious, what myths do we have around PMS that you can help us recognizes myths and then actually just, you know, kind of toss those out?
Absolutely. So menstruation is not perceived or taught or handed down from mother to daughter as something that is natural, and so it's something, it's better to hide it, put up with it, etc. The result of this is one of the many results is PMS. PMS standing for premenstrual syndrome. In other words, in here in UK there is even an association which is called NAPS, National Association of Premenstrual Syndrome, and I done a bit of research and I read on their website, and when I found the website in itself, I thought, oh my God, we are really in difficulties here, because if they even there is an association about it, it means that it's something bigger than we think. And second, reading about it, it came up that high percentage of women, a third of the female population, you know, sooner or later will experience some PMS in their life, and which is in the UK alone, if you want to talk about numbers, 800,000 women. And I thought, goodness Lord, goodness me, you know, good Lord, you would say probably over there, you know, why on earth so much women, that so many women that they put up with something like that. And but then of course I deal with the cycle, and I gave it a bit of thought, and I realized that actually it's quite easy to understand and explain it, and I'm going to. When we perceive something that is taboo and is not perceived, considered as sacred, as it should be really, because it's a natural part of our body, we tend to repress in some form or another. So it could be at emotional level, it could be at mental level, psychological, spiritual, or whatever. At some level we repress it, we block it. And so, like any type of illnesses really, or ailments in general, we know that generally something that we have repressed, we ignored, and so even if we had signs of our body to want it to wake us up, right, we ignored it until it reached a stage where it was so severe that it develops, it unfolds as an illness. And PMS is no different to that, because basically what we do as women, we ignore, we push it away, something that it should be actually discovered. And I'm going to give you a very simple explanation about the menstruation, that it will definitely shed some light for so many women who will be listening. I compare the feminine cycle to a year, and a year, you know, has got four seasons. Unless you live in the tropics and you have just one, two seasons really. But otherwise, the majority of people live in at a latitude that they experience the four seasons. Now, in those four seasons, we all, either men or women, we experience, you know, we have different things we want to do. We feel in a different way. And so if we compare our menstruation made up of four, generally speaking, 4 weeks, right? Those 4 weeks of our month, of our feminine month, are comparable to the four seasons. So let's let me just walk through the four seasons and explain to you what happens in a woman's body. The spring, which is comparable to the pre-menstrual phase of a woman, which is the week that starts after a woman has stopped bleeding. So that first week, a woman goes into an energy that is similar to spring. In spring we all feel very joyful and full of energy, like now we are in spring, and we tend to really shift our interest in the outside world. And we start seeing people more, maybe resume project that we had to put on the side during winter. And so we are feeling very outgoing. Then the second week after the spring, we enter our ovulatory week, which is comparable to our summer. And summer, like we know in summer, we tend to be even more social. In summer is when we have majority of festivals, social activities, all type of fads, you know, in town or at a national level, worldwide, etc. It's just we just feel opening up, right? And so we open up and we become more social. It's time to celebrate. Time for celebration of life. It depends on how you want to see it. Oh. But what happens in a woman?
Okay, everybody, hang in there.
Can you hear me?
Chuck, wait, you cut out right after celebration just a little bit.
So, okay. So basically in summer we celebrate. It's a time for celebration, for sharing what we have achieved. And in this time, our body is basically in the ovulatory season, right? The ovulatory phase. So for a woman, it's the time when she can conceive. So obviously, if you understand, if you can imagine, you know, there's lots of communication going on. There's lots of activity that can or cannot bring to you know, conceive a child. But it's the energy, is that type of energy, you know, being very outgoing, very outspoken, and a woman is full of energy in that time. She would say yes to everything, and like.
Do you find in that time that, and this is stereotyping because obviously every woman is a bit different, but that though during spring in that sense and summer, in those 2 weeks, do you find that a lot of women are more interested in sexual activity? Obviously, we are ovulating at that time if we're, you know,
pre-menopause anyway. So the body is a more interested in that potential of conceiving. So do you find that women are, hey, you know, those 2 weeks, they are more interested in their partner?
Well, I want to answer that question because it's a very good question, but can I just answer it after I finish with the other two seasons?
I just didn't want to forget to ask.
No. It's a very good question. But I can partly answer now. As you said, it's very important. I'm generalizing here because I want to give simple tools for women to start understanding and seeing our month in a different way. But then I come back to that. So when the summer finishes, we go into the third week or the autumn, premenstrual phase is the season, the week before we start bleeding. Now, this is the famous week where if we are suffering from PMS is when it happens. Now let's look at it. Let's look at the autumn and which type of energy we experience in autumn. In autumn, you know, we feel the temperature is cooling down, and also nature changes and becomes more, starts the withdrawing part of the year, because it's when nature starts cooling down and also the trees lose their leaves, etc., etc. It's still a very abundant season because we have lots of produces, you know, flowers and vegetables or crops, all sorts of things, lots of different harvests. For instance, grapes are harvested in autumn, but it's not like summer. The energy is very different. So similarly, a woman in her premenstrual week, she starts to draw inwards, and as such, she is less interested in the outside world. Her inner world becomes paramount and more appealing to her. So she starts reflecting on stuff, pondering, seeing what is good to keep, what is not good to keep, what to invest time on, or your own personal interest, and what not. And also by doing that, what happens is her truth, her essence, comes more to the surface. So this is the week when it seems, you know, women start having problems. And I want to go back to that in a minute. Then the following week is winter, so comparable to the bleeding week, which is also the menstruation, you know, the menstruating week. Now, if you think of winter, how is winter? Well, it's a time of withdrawal, it's a time of staying more indoors, right? We feel like staying in front of the fireplace and having a cup of tea or whatever you prefer. And maybe if you are not on your own, you might see a few friends, but you are not that social. It's not like in summer. Also, in winter, because we have less daylight, we tend to hibernate a bit, like some animals do. So it's more a pondering, reflecting, you know, a quiet season. Now, the woman, when she's menstruating, she enters a total different type of sphere, of realm. And if she follows her body, because her body takes her there, she becomes even more withdrawn than in the autumn season. And really, she needs time for herself. She needs to rest more, and she also her psyche becomes very permeable, and she becomes more more prone to understand different realms, maybe more spiritual realm. She becomes more psychic, she feels stuff, or maybe she finds solution to stuff that she has wondered and pondered maybe for a long time. But this happens when a woman stops and she's aware of what's going on in her body and respects it. So this week, by the way, like the premenstrual phase, is the other week that tends to have or manifest for women more problems, isn't it? Because many women suffer, they have cramps, they have all sorts of things coming up during that week. Now, I want to say this. Don't you think that the spring and summer season are seasons that involve a more masculine energy because we are more outwards, right? We are more in the world. We are more productive.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that way.
And then the wheel... The wheel... Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, just cutting out a little bit, but you were back then.
So then the wheel turns and we go into autumn and winter. And these two seasons are much more inward. They're much more feeling related. So they're more feminine. So my question to you and to whoever is listening is, don't you think that coincidence is pretty striking why women tend to have more problems in those two seasons, autumn and winter, which are feminine?
it's actually disheartening.
It is very disheartening, and that's why I do what I do. In our society, again, as a generalization, but I'm asking you, in our society, where do you find any validation of this? Where do you find any encouragement for women to take care of themselves, to rest, right, to stop, and to look
at technical
and to look at what it really matters to them?
Right.
We live in a society.
Right.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sorry.
Okay, we live in a society that we have to admit is man-run.
Right.
So of course, everything that is production, everything that is pushing, which is such a male energy, you know, being in the world, overactive, always, you know, with a yes and always with a solution and so forth, is all very well welcome. But it's in our society, everything that is related more to femininity, and femininity being obviously an energy of nurturing, of being vulnerable, of opening up, or making silence and listening to the silent, you know, and really becoming more in touch with a spiritual dimension, for instance, is less validated. Actually, it's something that is not really encouraged at all. But it hasn't been always that way. Because, for instance, in the States, you know, Native American have some tribes, they still have these days, they have moon lodges. Moon lodges, there were, you know, places where women would retire to during that week to stay with other women and to give voice to their own inner voice, to live and be rather than do, and to kind of hand down to the next generation, you know, the feminine mysteries. But this was also appreciated by the male part of the community. You know, in some tribes, you know, the chief would pass through, slips with question into the moon lodges, because they knew that women during that time, they are more connected to the sphere that you can call it spiritual, you can call it psychic, you can call it whatever you prefer to call it. But unless we consider our life just being a body, and the body being made up of many chemical parts, if we have just that conception, of course, okay. But if we have a conception, a bit broader conception of life and who we are, you know, and so we give space to spirituality, we give space to the part of ourselves where we have no answers, because it's the unknown, it's the mystery.
I think, Gabriella, this is so fascinating. I really, really love how you have broken it down into four seasons. I think that is so amazing for women to view it in that way, but also for our men to see it in that way.
Well, the question I have is why, and maybe I'm wrong here, but why does the PMS or the autumn section of this or season of this get so much billing? Because there's, you know, these other fabulous parts. Yeah, I mean, so much attention. Yeah, that's a better word to use. But it gets so much of the attention, and there's these other fabulous parts to this cycle that we kind of just, you know, okay, this is the section we worry about the most or comes to the forefront the most.
Well, but also, that's often a part that is really thrown at us women as a very negative, PMSing, you know, or even those comments are made, even if that's not, you might be in the middle of summer, but because maybe you step forward into a very powerful state or because you disagree with someone, then someone else may throw it in your face and say, oh, well, you must have PMS, and so it makes that very negative piece to it instead of honoring the whole of it.
Okay. Let me, it's just such a huge point, this, and I can talk about this forever, but I will try to be really concise and to the point. Now, I want to bring this attention, our attention for just a moment to the fact that our world, as we know it, has been run by patriarchy for thousands of years. Now, my question to you is, don't you think that because, and I'm talking neutrally here, patriarchy means just the rule of men, and not saying it's bad or good, it's just the way it is. So don't you think that anything that is connected with something that women and femininity, that of course for men is a kind of a mystery, it's easier to ignore it or push it aside because it can be uncomfortable or not explained?
That's true. I think that is very true.
And also I'm talking here about thousands of years, so it's easy to maybe to not consider that the impact of it because, you know, it's a lot of time.
Well, and as women have tried to, in the last few decades in particular here, have come forward and tried to, you know, want to be more powerful and more accepted and not oppressed by that masculine, you know, the men in our countries. So when we do that, we are unfortunately forced to then push that down. Oh, are we going to hide that? No, I'm not, you know, having cramps today or this, that, or the other, because we're so, again, forced to kind of push down and hide our femininity, whether it's the intuitive aspects of it or whether it's that more vulnerable piece where we do maybe feel more vulnerable during those times. So I think those are things that our men really need to become, as one of them, I'm going to use a phrase that one of our guests used the other day, but it's about re-education. We have to re-educate ourselves, both men and women, to understand these aspects differently, to view them differently.
Well, definitely. Okay, I can say two major things. We are not going to debunk the effect of patriarchy that has been ruling for thousands of years overnight, or simply because in the 60s and 70s, you know, we had the flower revolution, you know, and women went into the street and starting having the pill, taking the pill, and there was the sexual revolution, all the rest of it. I don't want to minimize that. Thanks God happened, but that was just a little kick to the big, huge, humongous monster that's been ruling for a long time. So also, it's the same thing I was just saying earlier, you know, sex is the same. It's been taboo for so long. Yeah, of course, nowadays we talk about it freely, so to speak, but that doesn't mean that we have overcome it.
Just because we talk about it freely, unfortunately, does not mean that we honor it and find it safe.
Exactly.
Some do, but some don't. And of course, when you're talking about sexuality, so much of it is, you know, sex is used in advertising to try to suck people in to buy something because...
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's not honoring it.
And that goes for both sides. You know, I think of the Coca-Cola commercials a few years back where the women all went to the window to look at the sexy construction worker. And, you know, and so that obviously the women are often used in that role. You know, you flip that around and she's in whatever, skinny little model body, which is fine, but, you know, and she's ogled by the men. So it gets used and disrespected. And so I don't think that either men or women are fully, we don't respect our bodies and all the things that go on physically, and then, of course, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. So, and oh my gosh, for me, and as a woman, I think this is a fantastic topic. I love this. I think there's so many women that need to hear this.
Well, I think there's so many men that need to hear this, too.
I'm getting you guys to fully listen. I don't know how easy that is. So, any of you men that are still listening today, I'm sending out you a big high five, a hug, whatever. I think it's awesome. Because those women that are around you, whether it's your mom, your wife, or partner, girlfriend, daughters, whatever, cousins, I don't care. They deserve that. They deserve your better understanding. So, with all of that kind of being said, and knowing that we're out of time, I want to make sure, Gabriella, please, will you tell everyone how they can find you online so they can learn more from you?
Yeah, they can find me easily on my website, flyinginspiration.com. And it's flying like F-L-Y-I-N-G and then inspiration in one word .com. And on the website, they can contact me. There are videos, there are tips, there are articles, there are interviews, there are audios, there are all sorts of stuff. So people can find some resources there for free. And of course, if they want to find out more, if they want to, you know, to have a chat with me, because at the end of the day, we are all human and we need to have a chat to understand where we stand, how, if we, and how we can help each other. I offer a free 30 minutes discovery call. And generally it is for women to find out where they're at and what is their problem and where they want to go. And for men, it's to exactly, if they, there's nothing out there for them either. And I'm passionate about empowering women, but my ultimate purpose is to give the wonderful woman back to men, because it's the only way to have an harmonious life.
Yes.
And also, the other thing that is so important is, you know, the feminine cycle is the perfect example of a natural design that combines male and female. And we both know that men have a female and a male part within themselves, you know, and the same is valid for us women. So a man is not totally a man if he's not in contact with his female part. And a woman, again, is not at all fully a woman if she's not in contact with her masculine part. And so they are, neither one is better than the other. They are actually complementary. So we want to create a world where it's fun.
Yeah,
my purpose, where, you know, something so beautiful like sexuality, our body, is revealed for what it is, not objectified.
Right. Oh, Gabriella, thank you so much for doing the work that you are doing in the world. This is so...
What a fascinating topic today, and there's so much more.
Well, it is. I think it's absolutely empowering for women, and so many women don't even have someone to turn to and talk to. So for those of you out there, whether you're a woman or a man, I absolutely would encourage you to reach out to Gabriella, go to the website, flyinginspiration.com, and have, you know, reach out to her and have that conversation. See if maybe, you know, you need to or can or want to work with her and understand so much more about yourself. Wow. Yeah, I mean, there's so much more. I'm like, I don't want to stop talking about it, but I know that we're out of time today. So I want you guys to really take in those four seasons and think about them. Really look at take your calendar even and sit down and think about the four seasons of your cycle, of your month in that sense. You know, normally it's around that 28-day mark, give or take who you are. That would be, and I know I'm probably not even doing it in the order I usually do, but that's the mission that I'm going to give ladies today, and actually you guys, because guys have a cycle too. too. It's just not the same. It's a little different. But so take that in. That's your mission. I want you to really reflect on those four seasons and how, you know, journal about it, make notes about it. How do you react? How do you behave? How do you feel? And do this for probably, I would say even 3 months, you know, to really get a little, maybe even 6 months, and to get a little bit better view of yourself. I know personally, there's just times when I change, I am different, and I can tell. And I'm like, oh, I guess that's fall. And I look at it in the seasons, that's autumn or fall here in the U.S. But because I know that I'm like, oh, hormones are changing, things are different, I react different. And so being aware can help you in so, so many ways as well.
Yeah, and guys, it can help you too to be aware of the same thing, not only for yourself, but for your partner too. Mm-hmm. It better helps you understand them and to know what's going on so that, you know, it just makes it more harmonious life.
Yes, it does.
Oh, can I add something for the men, and men only?
Yes.
Men, you don't realize how lucky you are. You think you got one woman, and actually for the price of one, you got four different women. Discover them.
I like that. So two different missions. Women, look at your four different seasons there, right? Men, discover your four different women that are wrapped up in one. There you go. That's your mission. Oh, my gosh. Gabriella, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Gabriella.
Oh, you're welcome. It was an honor to be on your show. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. All right, everybody. I'm Dr. Janelle Alex.
And I'm